Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another edition of the Steelers Cast on TimesOnline.com. I'm Steelers beat writer Chris Bradford, joined as always by Chris Mueller. And today we are talking post-OTAs. After 10 spring practices, the Steelers are looking forward to minicamp next week down at the UPMC Rooney Sports Complex. We'll talk a little bit about what we saw over the past 3 weeks in OTAs and a little bit later about what we expect to see here next week at minicamp and as the Steelers look forward into training camp out in Latrobe in late July. I think looking back at OTAs, you know, not a lot can be gleaned from, you know, what happens on the field there, but enough can be learned from what we've seen to let you know a little bit about where the Steelers are headed in 2017. And one of the obviously, I think the biggest story of OTAs and of the, really of the offseason was the return of Martavis Bryant. And I don't know about you, but from what I saw, I was very impressed by what we saw.
Yeah, that's exactly what I like using OTAs for, is kind of getting you a little preview of what we'll see come training camp when training camp starts. And in terms of Martavis, the first thing you notice is, you know, how built he was, you know, how better physical condition he is, how much accountability he took as a, you know, to the media and everything, and then just the way he's been playing. You know, it's like almost as he took, even though he's been off football for an entire year, you know, out of full-time football, it's almost like he's taken a step forward in terms of his progression as a receiver.
Yeah, I think, you know, coming in as I was looking forward to, you know, how he would do off the field, because I figured that might be his biggest transition. And really, we still don't know what exactly that situation is. He's still being reinstated conditionally. Yeah. We don't know if he's, you know, had this conversation with Ben Roethlisberger and had this heart-to-heart. But what we've seen from him on the field has been really impressive, not just, you know, the size thing that we've seen. You know, he's still got the speed thing. But I remember one thing stood out to me in this whole OTA, and it happened just this week. I think it was Wednesday. You know, we were both standing there in the back of the end zone, and Ben Roethlisberger, I think, was, you know, trying to test, you know, test the limits of his receivers. Yeah. He throws this one pass that I swear was going to go into the train tracks, you know, across, you know, behind the fence. And Martavis jumps out of nowhere. He looks like a, you know, like a freaking gazelle and just comes down with this huge catch. And, you know, you're not easily impressed, you know, during spring practices, you know, again, because it's, you know, football and shorts and all that. But what you saw there, you know, leads me to believe, you know, that this Steelers offense, you know, as good as it was, it's going to be off the charts, possibly.
Yeah, and just he opens up the field for all their other weapons, whether it's Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, Eli Rogers in the slot. And what stood out to me with Martavis was day one, was when we're out there and, you know, we don't really know what to expect, and we're watching individual drills, and there's a video, I put the video on my Twitter account, Steelers fans went nuts, where it's A.B. and Martavis running stride for stride in like a cut back drill, and Martavis is making A.B. look slow. Or Martavis' explosion out of the first 5 yards and then his cut back, it's like he's making it, like he was stride for stride, if not ahead of A.B., who, as we know, is probably one of the quickest receivers, quickest releases out of his routes in the league.
Yeah, and I've always said, you know, if looking at the two guys, A.B. or Martavis Bryant, you would take Martavis Bryant every day, because, you know, you can't teach 6'4" and the speed that he has. I mean, Antonio Brown's kind of a self-made man, but, you know, in terms of physical specimen, you know, I think, you know, Martavis Bryant is the way to go. And actually, I was looking this up a little bit earlier, that, you know, the receivers who've had 1,002 receivers having 1,000-yard receiving seasons in 1 year for the Steelers, it's a very small list. Swan and Stallworth never did it. Right. And it was, you know, Hines, Ward, and Plex, you know, 17 years ago, and then again, more recently, Antonio Brown and Mike Wallace. I think this year that those two guys certainly could be both 1,000-yard receivers in that offense.
And especially just because of how much Le'Veon is going to command, you know, out of the backfield and as a receiver. I mean, he just takes away, you know, half the defense. Half the defense has to account for them. And then when you have Martavis and A.B. either split out on either side or on the same side and, you know, running all the Todd Haley, you know, formations down the field that he likes to utilize, it's just going to – it's going to – you're right. Like, I mean – you can't
defensive nightmare.
Yeah, defensive nightmare. You can't tell the future. Obviously, things pop up, injuries pop up. We thought
suspensions.
We thought they were going to be arguably the best offense in the NFL last year, and you know they did struggle at times. So, but
and it became one dimensional with the run game.
Exactly. So, I mean, everything's looking good right now. I'm excited to get to training camp and see them all in pads. You know, obviously the receivers too, because in one-on-ones, you know, when you're not wearing pads, that's one thing. You're slowed down a little bit going against some of these corners. But overall, you got to like what you're seeing.
And again, without pads, it's tough to necessarily determine, you know, how things are going to shake out when we get out to St. Vincent a little bit later. But on the defensive side of the ball, one of the interesting things we saw, and you wrote about this, was when Javon Hargrave was out briefly last week with a, we don't know the nature of the injury, but we'll say upper body, using an NHL term, but Who goes in there first wasn't necessarily Dan McCullers. McCullers has been here around for a while, but we saw McCullers get passed up last year by Javon Hargrave in short order.
Yeah.
And then this year, McCullers passed up again in short order, this time by LT Walton.
And last time at this year, you know, when we were interviewing Dan McCullers and when we were interviewing some of, you know, John Mitchell, it was kind of, and even Cam Hayward said it. Like, this was Dan, and last year was Dan's, like, time. You know,
make
it was
break,
like,
huh?
Steve McClendon was gone, and Dan was stepping in. It was obviously he was going to compete with a rookie, but it was like the onus was on him to kind of, you know, make a move, which is what John Mitchell, DL coach, said to Steelers.com this week, that you're in your fourth year in the league. If you're not making a move now, then you're making a move somewhere else, was his quote. And, you know, he said Dan has to grow up. And it's just surprising they're using LT Walton, who's a D-end, who was like kind of, you know, he filled in for Tuitt, filled in for Hayward, and they're shifting him inside because the reason they may be doing that is because of Tyson Alualu. But, yeah.
We'll get that name down.
Yeah, we'll get a name down. But because he's in the mix now and he can play either side D-end, so they might utilize LT in, you know, in nose packages, say Hargrave were to go down.
Yeah, and with the Steelers, you know, and last year announcing pretty much that the 3-4 defense is, you know, an ancient relic, you know, the nose tackle position has been kind of almost single-handedly eliminated this, with the Steelers going in the sub package so more. So even a guy like Javon Hargrave, when he is out there, you know, it's not, you know, every down like, say, Hayward or Tuitt.
Right. What I liked about how they used him in nickel, because Hargrave can rush the passer too. That's what he brings. You know, although he's small in stature, you know, although he's you know, he looks like a nose tackle, he can affect the pass rush.
Yes.
McCullers whatsoever cannot. So that's the reason he's off the field. Now, McCullers lost some weight. He looks a little slimmer. Told me he was drinking water instead of Gatorade. But he's still big, you know, and he's still – and it's going to see – and he doesn't really have that mean streak. So
that's always been the knock against McCullers, was the lack of a mean streak.
I think it's training camp. You know, there are a lot of people that it's very important. You know, it's going to be very important for. Maybe Dan McCullers is up there in terms
of –
Yeah,
he's in the final year of his contract, so, I mean, this will be interesting to see how this plays out.
He could – he might not even make the roster.
No.
I mean, because Johnny Maxey's in the mix.
He played very well last year.
Tomlin likes Johnny Maxey. You know, LT Watton, Alualu, Tuitt, Hayward, Hargrave. Hey, McCullers might not be making it on the 53-man.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. Another guy I think that's possibly on the bubble, and we never would have said that, you know, this time last year, was Senquez Golson. He's the guy who's back finally after missing the last 2 years with the shoulder and then foot injuries.
Yeah.
And he's in the mix now at the slot cornerback position. Will Gay looks like he's holding down the number one spot, at least for now. But Golson, and then he's being pushed also by Cam Sutton, and then a little bit further down maybe Brian Allen, who is a six-round pick.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting situation to keep an eye on going into minicamp and into training camp.
And what stood out to me is that Cam Sutton told me – I mean, I talked to him this week. He hasn't taken a nickelback rep in OTAs. He's all on the outside. Now, obviously, he's a rookie. Obviously, it's really early. I mean, but at least they worked Davis in, Sean Davis, last year at nickel. Carnell Lake told us that. So you'd think, like, if they were really looking at Sutton at nickel, they would at least get him some familiarity with the defensive schemes and kind of lining up against Eli Rogers in the slot. So, I mean, I think it's been all Senquez Golson, because Eli Rogers confirmed that in the slot behind Gay. And Brian Allen, I think he's going to be more of just, like, the outside. Because look at his length.
Yeah.
You know, he fits that mold. He's a project. I think he could be very good. You know, we saw that one-handed backhand catch in the first week of OTAs. But I know the thing with Golson, you can't rely on him. You know, he's a good guy when he plays, you know, at least in practice. Looks pretty good. You can't rely on him because of his injuries.
I think a lot of people, especially some fans, are going to be a little bit disappointed when they see the season opens up. And who's going to be there? It's going to be number 22, Will Gay, who was last seen getting burnt in New England. So
you think they move Gay to safety eventually?
You know, maybe down the road, but I think right now, and the OTAs are a time for experimenting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think
that's why I'm surprised they haven't put Sutton inside.
Or put Gay, maybe if they were going to do that, go that route,
safety.
Put Gay
exactly.
out there. But yeah, that's something to keep an eye on. And another guy we want to talk about was Tyler Matakevich. He was last year the Steelers' leading special teams tackler.
Mm-hmm.
This year in OTAs, we've had Ryan Shazier, I think, missed practice or two or skipped out.
Yeah, I mean, probably
you
got
can't
rest.
Say injured.
You probably
just
got
to
rest. Yeah,
but. That's a guy who's you know, has a potential to take on an even bigger role with Lawrence Timmons in Miami.
Yeah, he worked this offseason on his hip mobility and kind of his lateral movement. Obviously, that's what you need as an inside linebacker in the coverage and when you're covering tight ends, when you're matched up against a potential slot guy. And this is really this is an opportunity for him to be the Vince Williams of last year, where he's playing on special teams, doing what he's doing, but is the primary backup inside linebacker. As much as it was a nod to Vince, to the fact that they didn't get an inside linebacker in the draft of free agency, it was also a nod to Tyler, that the fact that they didn't draft the guy to kind of compete with him. They're sound with their backup role, their backup linebackers, and him, LJ Ford, and Steven Johnson enough to I mean, maybe – I mean, Tomlin loves Dirty Red. So remember that Latrobe practice? Or it was at the Latrobe High School.
Yeah, the night practice.
The backs on backers when Medicavich literally won like
six
reps in a row, his roster spot. Tomlin just said, back out, like Dirty Red, come back out. I mean, that was something to watch. And I'm pulling. I like he's a good player.
Temple boy.
Temple boy, typical Steeler. You know, everything you want, kind of hard-nosed, gritty.
And intelligent.
He's a smart player
who plays with some heart.
He does. So that's something also.
And
to
this
watch.
Is the, remember, in this time of year, especially, you know, before the pads come on, this is an area for Tyler Matakevich to learn how to do the pass coverage a little bit better. If there was a knock on him last year, it was that part of his game. Certainly he brings a presence in run stopping. And talking now about Alejandro Villanueva, of course, his contract status is a little bit up in the air. He's an exclusive rights free agent. Hasn't signed his one-year tender. He could make $615,000. But he also could be a contract holdout. We'll find out a little bit more probably around Tuesday morning when minicamp begins on the south side.
Yeah.
Just your general impression. Do you think, A, he goes through with this, a contract holdout possibly, or do you see him getting his long-term extension as the Steelers, I think, would like to get done, and obviously Villanueva would like to get done. He talked on Thursday at the end of the final OTAs, conveniently. Yeah. I guess he wanted to let the media know about his contract status after declining to talk to everybody, you know, the previous 3 weeks. But just don't let me get off on a rant, but just your thoughts where you see this going.
I mean, I think it's interesting to hear Villanueva as he doesn't commit to minicamp or anything and relays all questions to his agents. He's playing pool with Kevin Colbert. He was going to play pool with Kevin Colbert after he spoke to us. And I would see it maybe more of he participates in minicamp, you know, with the onus maybe behind the scenes that, all right, I'll come out these 3 days, limited distraction, and then we're going to get something done. And if we don't, by the time training camp is, and I'm not showing up. You know, that's the general idea I would have. Obviously, I can't read his mind. In his situation, it's $615,000 for the starting left tackle, someone who started 26 regular season games in his last two seasons compared to what other guys in the league are making, guys who are a lot worse than Villanueva. It's baffling. And, I mean, but at the same time, this is the problem of being an undrafted free agent. Coming into the NFL.
And being an undrafted free agent who comes in at 27.
As opposed to a draft pick. Because right now, Gerald Hawkins is making more money than Alejandro Villanueva. That's, you know, no offense to Gerald Hawkins. Like the guy. And his estimated value on SpotTrack is like $27 million over 4 years is the estimated value of what he should be making. And it's just it's unfortunate.
Math 4 divided by 27.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate for him. I think something gets done. I think he's too good, you know, too critical of a piece as Ben's blindside, especially Ben who gets hurt, you know, frequently, and also just because of the person he is. He's the
It would be bad PR if you let go of the war hero.
Very bad PR. The war hero says all the right things and. Everything else.
No, my own opinion is I think if you say $6 million, okay, I think you're in line with what Alejandro Villanueva brings. Yeah, I'm not ready. I know Marcus Gilbert was saying that he's a top tier left tackle. I'm not quite ready to go there with Alejandro Villanueva, but I think that's most. He might be one of the top left tackles in the game, given a few more years. He's only been playing, you know, football now for just a few years after his West Point commitment.
And then tackle.
And then he was playing, you know, defensive end, and then there was tight end, defensive end, and now finally the Steelers convert him to an offensive lineman. Give him more time to work with Mike Monchak, I think Alejandro Villanueva might become that guy. I'm not sure he's that right now. So when you talk about that top left tackle money at like $12 million, that's not going to happen for him. You know, but does he deserve more than $600,000? Yeah, quite a bit more than that.
Yeah.
So if he gets, say, six, and when you do a team-friendly deal for say 2 or 3 years, I could see it happening.
That's the problem. I think where the you know, the argument is he may want more long term security. He may, you know, we saw DeCastro, Gilbert getting these 5-6 year deals. Villanueva at what, 28 years old.
20 years. I think it'll be 29 September.
29 September when the season starts. They don't want him on the books when he's 34-year-old tackle. You know, at least, you know. So it's like, I think that might be where the distraction is. Villanueva, although the money is all right, he doesn't want 2 year deal. You know, right. That's not a lot of security for a tackle. He wants 4 or 5. Steelers aren't going to budge, and then that's where I think a lot of the confusion is. That that's speculation, but at least in my eyes, you know, I think that is gonna hit, the amount of years on this deal is going to factor into to what happens.
Yeah, and you mentioned the unfortunate situation, him being undrafted, and we talked a little bit about, you know, his age. I think that's, you know, another thing. In the NFL, you only have, or any professional sport, you only have such a limited time to make money, and because of his situation, he'll be what, 31 years old by the time he can test unrestricted free agency, and that's where you really make your money. And, you know, unfortunately for Villanueva, the Steelers hold all the chips in that negotiation. He's kind of, to use a technical term, he's screwed.
And at the same time, the Steelers, it's like they don't, okay, Villanueva's, you know, if it does work out, unfortunately, that he is forced to take the tender and he's gone, because he becomes an unrestricted free agent next summer. So if that is, they have Gerald Hawkins waiting in the wings. So they're going to be like, all right, you know, we like you. Yeah, thanks for all your work. We got a guy coming up. See ya. You know, and right. So it's, but like,
here's the reason, after saying all of this, I do think the Steelers do get this deal done with Villanueva. I can't speculate if it'll happen next week, you know, before the start of minicamp, but I do think it does get done before July 27th. I think that's the more important date to keep in mind. The reason I think this deal gets done is because the Steelers are a team that were a win away from a Super Bowl last year. They believe they're a team with the offense that they have, with Martavis coming back and all that stuff, that will get over there over the hump this year. You got to have your left tackle. This is a team that values continuity along the offensive line. These are a few guys that have been together now for a few years. I don't see them that changing.
And this is that's a good point. And building off of that, the Steelers were what, a win or two wins away from getting a first round bye and home field advantage in the playoffs, you know, a little more. You miss Ben for 2 games, you know, to a minor injury because your starting left tackle isn't in there. And those could be 2 games that force you to play a wild card game instead of a, you know, first round bye in a divisional and maybe even home field advantage over the Patriots for all that matter. Probably wouldn't happen, but, you know, it's like that kind of thing too. 1 or 2 wins could factor in, and you need Ben out there for 16 to give you the best chance.
And speaking about Ben Roethlisberger, sacked just 17 times last year, the fewest in his career, second fewest in the NFL. Yeah. Alejandro Villanueva, a pretty big part of that, obviously protecting Roethlisberger's blindside. So keep that one. We'll certainly be paying attention to that one as the summer moves along, and hopefully we'll have some sort of idea of what happens between now and July when the Steelers go to the Latrobe. But again,
we got another contract dispute.
Le'Veon Bell might be in Pittsburgh, but we did not see him.
I've seen him on his Snapchat. He's in Pittsburgh. He was at the LA Fitness in McKeesport. McCandless Township. Confirmed.
There you go. McKeesport, McCandless.
Follow his Snapchat.
But one place you did not see Le'Veon Bell over the past 3 weeks was down at the UPMC Rooney Sports Complex on the field.
Reportedly, he was there.
Reportedly.
Know, apparently, he was there. But in terms of on the field with his teammates, supporting them, kind of like we saw Stephon Tuitt doing, no Le'Veon.
Yeah, Ben Roethlisberger, of course, admonished might be a strong word, but Roethlisberger said at the start of OTAs that he would like to have Le'Veon Bell out there, even if it was just in a cheerleader role like we saw with Tuitt. But
yeah.
I think more interestingly, this will come to a head this week at the minicamp, the mandatory minicamp, if we will see Le'Veon Bell, and will he talk to the media?
Yeah, and it's, you know, obviously Le'Veon had off-season groin surgery, so he wasn't going to participate regardless. I mean, and so I don't think it's as much of that as it is he hasn't signed his franchise tag yet, and he wants a new deal. He feels he deserves a new deal. His production certainly warrants that. And so it's like, okay, is that the reason he didn't show up? The only problem is Le'Veon is that it's in the Steelers' best interest to use that tag and possibly use that tag next year because, you know, they don't have to pay him top running back money, and that kind of helps their salary cap to address other issues, maybe re-sign Villanueva, which, and obviously the AB deal, when you commit money to Le'Veon, you know, all these possibilities aren't really on the table. So, I mean, he's young, so it's like I don't think he's as maybe willing to bend as Villanueva may be in this situation. No. He has more leverage. He's the star running back. He carried the Steelers for the second half of the season. So I think this kind of contract situation is going to be a little more, maybe not ugly. Tenuous? Ugly is not the right word, tenuous, than others.
Yeah, fortunately, the Steelers do have about 5 weeks to get that done until July 15th before he'll have to go under the franchise tag if he agrees to play under that tag. You know, so far from what he's talked publicly, and he hasn't really spoken much about it, he hasn't done, you know, sort of the Von Miller thing. I'm not going to play under a franchise tag. You know, taking one for the team, for the NFLPA, mm-hmm. you know, this grand noble cause of, you know, helping out his union brothers. The $12 million he will get, I think it's $12.1 that he will get this year for playing under the franchise tag, is actually probably about the best he could hope for, I think, on any new deal. I think he wants the security of a long-term contract, which I certainly understand that.
Especially with his injury history.
With his injury history and why the Steelers might be right to be like, hey, we're a little hesitant to do this right now. But, you know, in terms of the money, the dollars, I think, you know, that shouldn't be a problem. Adrian Peterson's now off the book, so you're not going to get that $14 million contract, you know, regardless what running back it is. You know, maybe down the road, 4 years from now when Ezekiel Elliott or, you know, whoever the great running back, Todd Gurley, whoever that is at that point, maybe then we'll see what a top running back's going to get. You know, but the market has to correct itself, and right now it looks like the value for running backs, $12 million is pretty good deal.
And that's an unfortunate thing in Le'Veon's situation, is that Ezekiel Elliott is still on his rookie deal, and the Cowboys don't have to pay him money that he's worth based off last year.
Just like the Steelers didn't have to pay Le'Veon.
Ways away. So Le'Veon, if he wants to kind of use an Elliott deal as leverage, he can't, you know. So, I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing if he does show up to mandatory minicamp. If he doesn't, maybe what some of his teammates say, because other than Ben, there's been other teammates speaking out, you know, not tenuously, but, you know, oh, we wish he was here. And even Ben's words, they could be misconstrued a little bit. But obviously, you know, he did, that's what he said, you know, wish he was here supporting the guys. Everyone else was, pretty much.
Yeah.
Villanueva was. Yeah, Tua was. Like
James Harrison, you know, James guy who's not going to participate in OTAs.
Ramon Foster there every day. Right. Ben's there even on the days he's not practicing and getting ready for tee times.
Yeah, I think this is one thing that's going to be certainly one of the more interesting developments over the over the summer. But of course, we've kind of gotten used to this with Le'Veon Bell. There's always some drama. I think, and I'm going to stand by the Steelers. I think did the right thing by putting the franchise tag on him. I think what they did is they bought themselves a little bit more time, you know, to see that Le'Veon A can get through an offseason without incident. That looks like that's going to happen. But if this deal does get done, I think it will happen around July 14th at around 11:59 at night.
Yeah, and I'll be waiting on it, I'm sure. That's all we got, right?
That's all we got for this week. We'll do another one of these things next week on the Steelers Cast on timesonline.com after the conclusion of minicamp, and we'll be looking at that point really to the start of the real offseason, or not the offseason, but the start of the regular season, as it were, with the start of training camp up in Latrobe at July 27th when the players report. So we'll have a lot more stuff for you before now and then. Hopefully we'll be doing some position previews and what you can look forward to from the Steelers.
Add us on Twitter.
You got to follow us on Twitter.
At by Chris Mueller, at BCT Bradford. We got all the videos on lock.
We got it. So until then, we'll talk to you.